A psalm that David wrote in Psalm 19, one of my favorite passages of scripture that helps us start out this morning for us to be thinking about some of the things that David was seeing as he is following the path of the Lord, some things we need to think about. Last night we sort of jumped off and started talking about how we need to follow the Lord's path, if he would teach us that. And here's one thing that you need to know if you're wanting to follow the Lord. In order to follow God, you need to know where he is going, right? Does that make sense? You can't just sort of be like, I don't know, you know, put your finger in the air, let's see where he's going. Or you can't want to be one of these people like, I think God's like this, or I think God may be leading me there. You need to know where God is going. Well, you discover God's ways by studying God's word. If you want to know God's ways, this is how you do it. You study God's word. Have you ever had anybody sort of feel like that they were speaking for God? I'll give you an example. I went to a Christian college, and this is something, I love my time there, but something that happens on Christian college campuses a lot is that God gets blamed for a whole lot of stuff. Did you know that? What happens? I'll give you an example. This sounds really good. This guy will go over to this girl and says, hey, I would like us to date. Why? Because I feel like God is leading me to date you. God is calling me to marry you. She's like, really? Yeah. And then 6 months later, I believe God is leading me to dump you and ruin your next 3 months. You know, like, what? And so, like, a lot of times somebody would come up to me and say, hey, I feel like God is leading me to date this person. And later they say, God is not leading me to date this person. And I would look at them as nicely as I could and say, is God schizophrenic? They say, what? God's not schizophrenic. I said, well, then stop attaching his name to what you want to do. If you really want to discover God's ways, you need to study God's word. And so what's important here is this is where God speaks to us through his word. It's not just how you feel and you're just trying to sort of spiritualize or baptize your feelings. Like, you need to know this. 1 Timothy 4:7 says it this way, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. And here's the reason why. As I prayed and really thought through what I want to teach you guys this in the morning times, because we just have a few moments in the morning to really dive into a few things to get you thinking, I really thought, I want to equip you guys as you go home that you can continue walking on the Lord's path. So in the evening, we're going to be really talking about some big kind of stuff. But in the morning time, I'm going to get so very practical with you, because what I used to have when I was your age is I'd come to camp and I'd get really excited while I was at camp, and then I go home and I don't know what to do anymore. And so what I want to do in these morning times is teach you some things that you need to do. And so we're going to do something that's really, really fun. We're going to talk about something called spiritual disciplines. Doesn't sound awesome? Great. All right. Here's what I want to make sure you understand, because I used to think when I was your age, somebody says, you need to do spiritual discipline. And I goes, that sounds hard. That doesn't sound fun. I'm not a big fan of this. And I would think, this isn't something that I want to do, because I'd always equate it to this. Like, I need to go and do hard stuff so that I can be liked by Jesus. That's what I used to think. So I used to have this picture in my mind, because I remember there was somebody who spoke to me when I was about your age that basically said this, you need to have the importance of a quiet time. You ever heard the word quiet time? Or the words, not two words. Quiet time, you ever heard that? Like, you need some time every day where you're reading the Bible, you're praying, and I thought, okay, I need to do that. And I had a speaker one time say, I mean, how do you think you'd feel if you're God Almighty in heaven, making everybody, loving everybody, and his kids don't even have time to spend with them in the morning? I go, oh my goodness. Like, I picture God, follow me, I picture God as a senile old man in the nursing home being carted around in a wheelchair going, I wish somebody would come talk to me today. Like, I had this picture in my mind. Like, he's lonely, he's needy, like, he's so dependent upon, like, keeping the world in orbit. If I can just go, Lord, I'm reading your word, hope you're okay today, keep everything in orbit for me. Like, I'm worried, like, he seemed needy, until I realized that the reason you do spiritual disciplines is not because he needs them, it's because who does? We do. Spiritual disciplines are not meant to make you more liked by Jesus, but to make you more like Jesus. That's the goal. You're not trying to do something to earn something from him. When you read the Bible, when you memorize scripture, when you pray, when you're not doing these kind of spiritual disciplines so that Jesus will like you more. You're doing this so that you will be more like him. And so what I want to do this morning, tomorrow morning, and the next morning is I want to teach you really quick three things that I do every single morning that help me grow in Christ. Keep me on the path. So I'm going to give you a picture of what this is, and then I'm going to really dive in just for a few moments just to get you an idea. The first one is read God's word. Can you say that with me? Read God's word. Okay, this is important for you. And so Psalm 19, I want to read these couple of verses to it. It says, the heavens declare the glory of who? God. Let's say it loudly. The heavens declare the glory of God. Okay, so it says the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Have you ever been at a beautiful landscape somewhere and you're sitting around at this high mountain, or you're looking down at the Grand Canyon, or you're looking at a star-lit sky, and somebody looks around and goes, man, isn't this beautiful? How can anybody say there isn't a... You've been there? You said it, right? You look at creation and you go, wow, look at that. It's incredible to look at. Like, you just absolutely know that there's a God when you see that. And so these next few verses say that. But look down at verse 7 really quick. Then it says, the law of the who? The Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. And so it says, look, you can look at creation and say that there's a God, but then you start reading God's word and you know who he is. Can you look at that passage of scripture? What was the word that they used to describe God in verse 1? It says, the heavens declare the glory of who? God. And in verse 7, the law of the who? You see how that's different? God is in verse 1. Lord is in verse 7. In my Bible, and maybe some of your Bibles, the Lord is all capitalized. Do you see that? Kind of interesting. Let me explain what that means. In verse 1, it's using this generic term for God that, like, even an unbeliever would go, man, look at that sky above. Surely there is a God. Don't really know anything about him, but I know that he's out there. And then you get down to verse 7, and it says the law of the Lord, all capitalized letters. You know what that word symbolizes? In Hebrew, it's a word named Yahweh. It's when Moses is in the burning bush, you remember this? He sees this burning bush. He goes, wow, this burning bush is burning up, but it's not burning away. And like, what's going on? And this voice speaks to him, and he says, I want you to go to Pharaoh, tell him to let my people go. And he says, Pharaoh has thousands of gods. I don't even know your name. And the bush starts to speak and says, you tell him I am who I am, Yahweh. Lord, whenever you see in the Old Testament, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, it's saying that I am who I am. So get this. Creation, verse 1, is telling us there is a God. I don't know that much about him, but I know that he's out there. That's what creation can do. And then verse 7 says, the law of Yahweh, the law of the great I am, the word of God teaches me who he is. And so really think through this. Creation tells us there is a God. Revelation tells us what he is like. Creation can tell us. You're going to go outside and you're going to, man, I love Charleston. It's a beautiful city. And you look out in the sky and you go, wow, this is gorgeous. Creation is telling me there is a God out there. But you know what? That's as far as it can take you. As far as you can take, say, there's a God. And then all of a sudden you start looking into the word and you start figuring out who he is. And so why this is so important is the Bible will benefit you only as much as you treasure it. You can say that the Bible is important to you, but if you're not treasuring it, if you're not reading it, if you're not saying what these words in verse 7 and 8 and 9 going on through there says, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. Can I just tell you that once again, many times I'll go to reading the word and I'm kind of like, I'm not getting into it. And then when I do it, it revives my soul. And as I treasure it, it benefits me more the more that I study it. So many of you here, you came to camp. There's a lot of different reasons that we come to camp. Some of you are here because you said, you know what? I do want to grow in Christ. I do want to grow in Christ. Well, to grow more in Christ, you must know more of Christ. And to do that is that you read God's word. You start finding a way to read God's word, that you've got to get in this. You've got to start walking in and saying, I'm going to be a student of this. Does this book intimidate anybody in here? Can we just say yes? Shake your head if it's ever intimidated you. Yeah, it's big. It's don't got words that you can't pronounce. It's got names that you like, if you're called on like in Sunday school to read, you're like, oh gosh, I can't do that. That name sounds weird. Like, it's hard and it's difficult. And yet, the more that you study, if you want to know more of Christ, to grow more, you have to know more, you have to study. And so why this is so important to me, you're saying, well, I don't even know where to start. This is how I would encourage each and every single one of you. If you really want to start reading God's word, there's two things I'd encourage you to start thinking of this very day. Find a partner, pick a plan. Find a partner, pick a plan. Any of you ever try to work out by yourself? And then you all of a sudden found out the benefit of having someone that you worked out with, right? I'm gonna go to the gym at 6 o'clock in the morning. And if nobody's waiting for you and that alarm hits, what button do you hit? Snooze. And then all of a sudden, if you know, my buddy's down there and he's gonna be waiting for me at the gym, there's this temptation. No, I gotta get up and I need to go run with him. And you feel that tension in the same way that if maybe you could pick a partner, hey, we're gonna read this together. We're going to start reading the book of Philippians, and we're going to read this together. And you and I, like, how about this? We'll read a chapter by tomorrow, and then we're going to text each other. We're going to call each other. We're going to sit down. What did you learn? Because I know this, if I'm accountable to somebody, I'm going to stick with it. So you pick a partner, you find a plan, and you start working through something together. Can I just want to go ahead and tell you this? If you have not been consistent reading the Bible, here's what I want to encourage you not to do first. Okay, this is going to sound really bad, but follow me. Don't try to read through the entire Bible this year if you haven't read through a book yet. Okay, because here's what happens. If you haven't been consistent reading the Bible, you start reading in Genesis and you're going pretty good. And then all of a sudden you get to the middle of Genesis and going, man, this family's kind of a little crazy. The Exodus is kind of exciting. Then all of a sudden they start talking about tapestry. And then all of a sudden you get to Leviticus. Oh, Leviticus, y'all. Leviticus. It'd be like all kinds of animals be getting killed. They'd be sprinkling blood on everything. And you go, I'm out. And maybe what you need to do is start picking a plan, picking a passage of scripture where you start going with someone and saying, you know what? A little bit at a time, we're going to start just taking away a little sections of scripture. You start reading God's word. You start finding out who he is. So for years, I got to serve as a religion professor. It was at a campus that was not a Christian college. I was teaching a world religions class that day. I was being scrutinized by all the faculty around me to make sure that since I'm a pastor in my other job, that I wasn't being too biased on the other side. So I had to be very, very creative in how I taught truth. One of the things that I would do a lot of times is that I would teach for arguments for the existence of a God. And I would do something like the teleological argument or the cosmological argument, these different things, which is all about look at the universe, look at the stars, look at how things are created, and you've got to think maybe there is a God. And I remember one day I'm sharing all this stuff. I start going in all kinds of galaxy stuff and look at this star out here and this galaxy over there and look how the earth was created and there seems like it was imploding. And then all of a sudden it stops here and I'm mentioning all this stuff and started showing how big the galaxy is and saying there has to be an existence for God. I conclude this class, dismiss the students, and one student in the back of the class did something you're never supposed to do. She raises her hand. I mean, like, I've dismissed, because I've got a question, Dr. Agnew, and everybody went, what? He just dismissed us. This is the one we're in college right here. And I said, yes, ma'am, what's going on? And she says, when I'm looking at all this stuff you're talking about, like beyond the Milky Way and this star over here and this galaxy over there and Jupiter over there, I have one question for you. And I said, yes, ma'am, what is it? Are there aliens? I'm like, what? I said, what do you mean? And she goes, I mean, I feel like if all this is created and the only thing that's living here is the people here on Earth, and it's a small planet within this solar system, and then you go out even further, like I just feel like it's all a little oversized if it's all about us. And I thought, oh, this is going to be good. And I said, well, what if it's not all about us? What if all of these stuff that's created is not for the earth and for us to separate and for these aliens over here? I said, what if all the heavens, what if all the space, what if all the galaxies, what if every sky is for us to point up and look and say, surely there's a God. Like, how in the world, if this is a stage for us, yes, it's oversized, but if it's really great I am, it's not even enough. Like, it just needs to continue to go and go and go. I said, maybe this is his canopy. Maybe we look up and say, surely there is a God. And then she goes, well, what do we do with him? And I said, now you've got to start studying who he is. You've got to figure out who he is. It can get you to say there is one, but then you get into the word to figure out who he is. Can I just tell you, many of you right now, you believe there is a God, but you don't know him that well because you never studied what he's written. This is how you know the word of God. And so what we're about to enter into is for you to have an opportunity to study with other people God's word. What I'm going to encourage once you leave this place, so you pick a partner, you find a plan, you go home, and you keep reading through scripture together because that's how you find out who God is. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, I ask in this time that as we get ready and prepare our hearts to even study more of your word, Lord, I pray that you would open up our eyes to your truth, that you would cause us to see you for how great you are, that you would cause each and every single one of us to love your word. God, the law of the Lord is perfect. It's reviving the soul. And we're thankful for creation that tells us there is a God, but we are thankful for your word that tells us who you are. Would you cause us to be people of the book, people who study your word, who love your word, who long after your commandments. Lord, would you pray just the way that as David has prayed for his own soul, that he would love your word. Lord, we pray that we would as well. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.